Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
God is good, and all the time. You ever thought about that little sentence when you say it? Do you really believe it? That our God is a good, good God. And he loves you with all of his heart. I know some of us probably have been taught, or we've self-taught ourselves, that he's a big God that with a big club that is going to wreak havoc on it if we fail. But that's not our God. Our God is a God of love. I think John 3:16 says it the very best. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting eternal life." Just think of that. When we come to know Jesus Christ, our life on this in this earth may end, but it'll never end. We'll be with him for an eternity. Just think how much he loved you, that he was willing to give the very best that he had to assure that if you accept him, that you could spend the rest of eternity with him. You are special to God. I want you to know that each one of you in this room is special to God. You're the crowning achievement of his creation. You know, if you read in Genesis about creation, it says, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let this come forth," and it came forth. God said, and it happened. But when it came to mankind, to you and I, it says that he formed man out of the dust of the earth. With that saying, as God came down, knelt down in the mud, and shaped a man in his image. And then it says that he breathed, which is face to face, which we aren't doing nowadays anymore, but he was face to face with man and breathed into each one of us that spirit that lives for eternity. That's how special you are to God. You are special. There's a great verse in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah is way at the end of the Old Testament. And this is a great verse that if you're really feeling down, dig into this verse and read it. It says, "The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." What a powerful verse, huh? Right now, God is singing your name over you. He's singing over you because he cares for you so much. He's spreading his love into your hearts. He is giving you peace and joy and comfort. And the Lord knows we need comfort in this time, don't we? We need peace in this time. We need the joy of the Lord that is our strength in this time. It's been a real time of stress and conflict and things that are going on that we don't understand. But God's there to give us peace. I have a friend that's a pastor out in South Dakota on a reservation out there. And when this first started, he started posting pictures on Facebook every day. Picture of a sunset or a sunrise or of little kitties or of horses. He's a rancher plus a pastor. And he every day he put up a picture and he'd say, "Good morning, America. God is still in control." We need to realize that. We need to know that in our hearts, that no matter what's happening out around us, God is still in control. He is still the one that is orchestrating. And that's what I want to talk about to you today, is what's next. You know, God loves you so much that he was willing to come the first time, and I believe he loves us so much that he's willing to come again and to receive us. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Do we have any water, Rick? 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Probably the greatest verses that Paul wrote concerning the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. It says, "But we do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you will not grieve as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Thank you, Rick. I believe that the rapture is the very next event on God's prophetic calendar. I believe that we're ever nearing the day when he is going to come and receive us unto himself. Some of you may have not even heard of what the rapture, or you heard something about it. There's a lot of teaching out there that condemns the rapture and tells us it's not true. But you know what I've found in all of my years, all of my 70-some years, that whether I believe it or not, if it's in the Bible, it's true. If I don't believe it's going to happen, it doesn't make any difference. God's word is true, and God will cause it to happen. It's a real event. It's going to happen. You know, this God that created all this and holds it all together, if he's powerful enough to put all of the stars in the skies and the planets and the earth, and we're all hanging out there yet, and we're here on this spinning globe and we're not flying off, isn't he powerful enough to bring us to himself when it's time? Of course he is. Of course he is. What is the rapture? The rapture is the catching up of the church, of the saints of the church, in the last day. Some will say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's not in our American English Bible, but it is in the Latin Vulgate, which was a translation of the scriptures from the Greek. And there the word is rapier, or we get our word rapture from it. It's a catching away. It's a time when God suspends gravity and we're taken out of this world into his presence. The graves are open, and the graves will be emptied of the believers, and they will be taken into his presence. What a wonderful day that will be. You know, I can't wait. You know, I've done a lot of things in my life, and now I'm just looking forward to God's great reward. And I know many of you, too, are looking for that day when you hear him say, "Well done, good and perfect servant, enter into my rest." What a rest that will be in his presence. But it's a catching away. It's a removing from one place to another. In Acts 8:39, talking about Philip, it says, when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God snatched Philip away, took him away, moved him. God said, "I need you here." He took him from one place to another place. He snatched the harpazo, the rapture of removing him, seizing him from one place to another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is writing here. He says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or in the spirit, I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. I was caught up into the paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. Paul was caught up. Paul was harpazoed, seized, taken up into heaven to see the things of God. Who will go in the rapture? You know, that's a question that many will ask. Who will go? Who will qualify for the rapture? God gives us a prerequisite to going. It's those who believe, those who have accepted Jesus Christ, those who have been born again are rapture-ready people. They're looking forward to, they're waiting for, they're wanting that to happen in their lifetime. Looking forward to the return, the catching away of the saints. In Ephesians 5, 27, it says that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Talking about you and I as believers, that we would be holy and blameless, that we would be people that want to please God, that want to live according to his precepts, people that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and serving him with our whole hearts. Hebrews 12, 14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We need to be people of holiness, living holy lives before him, walking in his precepts day by day by day. It can be done if we make a moment by moment decision to follow him with a whole heart. We need to live in holiness. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be people that are looking, anticipating, waiting for, longing for, wanting to see his return. There's a great parable that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25, 1 through 13. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took their vessels with lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him into the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came in also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We need to be ready. Have that extra oil. Have the power of the Holy Spirit resident in our lives that we can live a victorious life for him. But be ready at all times, looking for his return. You know, we could very possibly be the generation that sees the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. When you look around, and like Cheryl was saying, burning Bibles, signs that say, keep God out of California. We see the persecution of the church all over the world, and it's starting here in America. In a few weeks, decisions will be made at the polls that will determine the fate of you and I as Christians and the fate of our country. So could the rapture be soon? Yes. It could be very soon. We need to be ready at all times. We just need to say, Lord, I'm ready. Whenever you want, I'm ready to go. And if we look into Scripture, we see examples of people that have been raptured. In Genesis 5:24, Enoch, it says he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Took him right to heaven. Bodily, raptured him. Whew, he was gone. Elijah's taken up in a chariot of fire. Bodily, he was gone. We think about what we call the ascension. Jesus was taken from this earth into heaven, a type of the rapture, bodily into heaven. So there's an examples throughout Scripture of this happening. And so we can be assured that it will happen again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We're going to look at what will happen. 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air." The Lord himself is going to come and receive us. Can you imagine? Wow. Seeing him face to face, seeing Jesus face to face, standing. It says in the Scripture, it says we look now as into a mirror dimly, but then we will see him face to face. This Jesus that was born as a baby, lived a sinless life, died upon a cross, sacrificed his life for you and for me, then was taken back to heaven, will come back, and then we will see him face to face. We're going to have a conversation with him face to face. What a thought. What a thought. That you and I are going to be see him face to face. You know, in the Scriptures in the New Old Testament, it says no man shall see God and live. But because of our standing in Christ, of being born again and being strengthened by him and made righteous, we now can have a face-to-face conversation. Revelation 4:1 says, "After these things I looked," this is John writing, "and behold, a door standing in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking to me, said, come up here." Can you imagine on that day when the clouds, when Jesus comes in the clouds and we hear that? Come up here. Gravity is going to be done away with, and you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are going to fly to meet him. We're going to be gone. We're going to meet him in the air. Every believer is going to hear that shout. And it says there's going to be a voice of an archangel. This could be a call or a cheer. The angels are cheering us on to come home. We're going to be united with our groom. We're the bride of Christ, and we're going to be united with him. This could be the call of the best man. The bridegroom cometh. Prepare yourself. The bridegroom cometh. Next it says there will be a trumpet sound. In Isaiah 27:13, it says it will come about also in that day that a great trumpet will be blown, and those who were perishing in the land of Assyria and who were scattered in the land of Egypt will come and worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. When the trumpet sounds, when the last trump sounds, the last trumpet sounds, it'll be calling people together to come and worship our God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes again, says, "Now I say these," this is 15, starting in verse 50, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery." Now, a mystery is something, when it says mystery in the Bible, it's something that you need to find out, or you will find out. It's a mystery. It's not hidden from you, but you will find out. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on the immortality. We will be changed. We will be changed from this fleshly body that's falling apart to an immortal body that will live for an eternity. These are tents that we're living in. They're temporary. Amen. Our new bodies will be eternal. Then the last thing it says is that we will be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Where will we go? Revelation 4:6, and there and before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes and in front and behind, going into the throne room, right into the presence of God. We're going to be there. You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
You're going to see the throne. We shall see the King. Remember that old song that you sing? We shall see the King. We're going to see him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to be in the throne room. And then in Revelation 4, it says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the throne saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning from the throne that are the seven spirits of God. We're going to be in the very throne room of God. We're going to see all of this. With what John is describing here is we are going to see this because we're going to be right there. This will no longer be words in a book, but this will be an actuality that will be in our lives at that point in time. John 14, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Some versions say many mansions. I like that part, mansions. I think it's going to be fun to live in a mansion that was built in heaven. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Promise from Jesus. Jesus is speaking these words. It's a promise that he's going to prepare a place for us. And if he prepares a place for us, then he's going to come back and get us so that we can come and dwell in those places that he has made for us. Each one of us, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a dwelling place in heaven with him, and he is going to come and take us to that place. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. Going to see him. Isn't that great? It's going to be great. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. We'll be like him. We'll have that glorified body. We'll have a body that lives forever. When will this take place? Rick, you want to come on up? Norse team. Matthew 24:36 says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, nor the Father, but the Father above. We don't know the day or the hour. We can't say, oh, it's going to happen on April 26th or September 26th or some date. And we know that there's been people that have done this. If you are in a group where somebody is predicting the date, the hour, the time, get up and run, because he is a false prophet. Because it says right here in the Word, no man knows the day and the hour. However, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, says, now as times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full and well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they are saying peace and safety, and what's the big word now in the Middle East and around the world? Peace, safety, peace, safety. Are we there? I think we're very close. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, you sisters, who are in Jesus Christ, are not in darkness. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not caught in this darkness as those who are not believers. But the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons, and I'm going to add daughters of light, and sons and daughters of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath. There's a key, because after the rapture happens, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the timeline, but after the rapture happens, there is going to be a seven-year period, which is called the Great Tribulation, where God's wrath is poured out upon this world because of the sinfulness of this world. God has done everything in his power to draw men to himself that they could believe and escape this. He has sent his son Jesus. He has sent his prophets. He sent his messengers with the message of salvation. But those that have rejected it will not be caught up. They will not be in heaven with him. There is a real heaven, and there is equally a real hell. And those who have rejected Jesus Christ on this earth, who have been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come to him, to experience his great love and his faithfulness and his peace and his joy, but have rejected him and said, not at this time. I've got too much life to live. I don't want to stop now. They're going to miss what God has made for us. For God has not destined us for wrath. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are not destined to go through that terrible time. You say, well, how terrible can it be? In those 7 years, a third of the waters and a third of the forests and a third of the grass is going to be destroyed. Half of the earth's population is going to die from war and famine and pestilence. That's 3.5 billion people that in those 7 years. Think of that. But God has not destined us for this wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live with him. Therefore, here's the words, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Encourage one another. These words from Paul that tell us about the rapture of the church are for encouragement to you and I as believers, that there is a day coming when this thing, all this evil and this pestilence and this famine is going to be done away with. And we're going to be with him. Jesus is coming soon. Can you say that? Jesus is coming soon. We need to live as children of light, illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And his word needs to be born. We need to be born again and looking for his return. If you're here today and you've never, ever made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you you've never said yes, Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord. I want to give my life to you as you give your life to me. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Is there anyone? Anyone at all today? Yes, yes, I see those hands. Anyone else? We're just going to take a moment. Because this is genuine. This is real. As the kids say, it's for realsies. It's not just a story. It's for real. Let's pray together. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you now. I put my faith in you. I trust in you. I repent from my old life. And I turn my life to you. I give my life to you as you give your life to me. I thank you that I've been born again and rapture ready. I thank you for that, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your boldness to raise your hand. You know, God brought you here today for just this reason, so that you would have an opportunity to hear about his love for you. Maybe you're here and you once lived for Jesus and you were on fire for him. You were doing everything you could to further the kingdom, but that fire has kind of gone out. It's kind of dwindled. It's kind of gone away. There's a coldness in your heart. If that's you, would you please raise your hand? I want to pray with you that the fire of God would rekindle in your life again. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Let's pray this together. Yes. Father, right now, I invite the fire of the Holy Ghost to become resident in my life, that I'll never wane again, but I'll keep living for you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live for you. I want new boldness. I want new fire. I want a new word. I give my life to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.